hats, hoodies, t-shirts. Rock your WSB gear at a Seawolves game. As the first pitch to Carson is going to be a ground ball over to short, almost to second base, but that's going to be an easy play for Jordan Payton, and one away. Payton positioned well, too, as he had to range just behind second base to get that one, but left side of the infield for Towson is pretty good defensively. Back to the top of the order for Evan Fox, the victim of a very good play by Payton in shallow left field last time up as he takes ball one here. One oh inside, 2-0. And to a pitch, this one, high fly ball down the left field line, and it's going to go foul. But he gave it a pretty good ride. And the kid's going to be going for it. Hey, kids, don't go in the street for that. But that's how far it went. 2-1 pitch on the way. That's high, almost at his chin, 3-1. And dealing from the windup once again. Ball four, just inside. So Fox does what the leadoff man does, gets on base. And while we're on the subject of stolen bases, why don't we share with you a little bit of what Evan Fox does? And he does lead the team in stolen bases, and he's perfect. When he goes, he makes it, 13 for 13. Maselli fly to right his first time up. Throw to first to keep him honest, and Fox dives back. Taking a big lead there, so you know. Throw to first once again. Trying to keep the pitcher distracted, Siles, but Stiles gave a couple of hits in the second inning, but he's got a runner on here. As Maselli checks his swing and lets strike one go by. Infield drawn in just a little. 0-1 pitch on the way. From the stretch. And this one skied foul back towards the softball field. Actually, a little bit to the right of it. Give the kids an opportunity because they're not going to be running onto a softball field to get it. So, never going to allow that. Counts it 0-2. One out, bottom of the third, no score. Throw to first again, and Fox dives back. And we're ready. 2-1. Swing and a miss. And down goes Maselli. That's the second out. But Matt Brown-Ehring has an opportunity here to at least move a runner up or much more. Righty to the righty. Throw to first again. That was close. But Fox is safe. First pitch from the stretch. And this one right through the left side for a base hit. So Brown-Ehring does his job, advances the runner. You got runners on first and second now with two out. Eric Paulson, your cleanup hitter. Sewell's threatening once again. They put two men on in the second, got two men on here in the third. Not able to get the runners in the second as Cam Santerre popped up. Righty to the lefty. And it's down and away for ball one. First pitch. 1-0.
Dude, come over here.
There's a light wind blowing out towards the right field, which favors the lefties, obviously. And the 1-0. And this one fouled back onto the screen on the left side, 1-1. So he's a little late on it and a little bit under it. Okay, umpire calling time, the second base umpire calling time, pointing it, yes, a loose ball over by the on-deck area. There's no on-deck circle, there's just you have on-deck hitter there, who, by the way, is Johnny Pilla. 1-1 on the way. Missed outside, ball two. 2-1. Runners taking their leads. You got Peyton covering close at second base in case. And next pitch up and in. 3-1. And I say in case because Siles is looking at that runner at second base, and that runner is Evan Fox. So Evan Fox, like I said, is a 100%er when it comes to stealing bases. 3-1 on the way. And that one, he gets it in for a strike on the outside corner. So you have Peyton positioned, and now the runners are going. And this one, line drive right to a perfectly positioned Casey Bishop at second base. Bishop was playing back on the lefty, and the ball was hit right to him. He barely had to move. So another Seawolves threat goes by the boards. No runs, one hit, two men left on base. At the end of three, 0-0. JT Rabb getting warmed up to pitch the top of the fourth inning. He'll be facing the 3, 4, and 5 hitters to the Tigers, Elijah Dickerson, Bryce Frederick, and Tay Robinson. So here I am talking about Radiothon between innings. I'm not even telling you what to do to make a pledge, and I apologize for that. But you know what? The game got going again. I had to concentrate on that. So now that I have the moment to do that, here's what you do. You can call the station. There may be somebody in the studio. Bob Longman may be there, and the Jazz on the Air host may be there because that, of course, will be following immediately after this broadcast. Well, actually, no. It depends on how early we finish, and Bob Longman will fill in the time between then and 3 o'clock, and then Jazz on the Air kicks in. But regardless, you can call the station at 631-632-WSB or 631-632-6901. We'll answer either one. But use 6901. It rings everywhere in the studio, so somebody will answer it. And make a pledge. Do your $5 a month, $60 a year, one latte a month. Okay, so we go to the top of the fourth. First pitch from Reb is a breaking ball outside on Elijah Dickerson, who singled to center his first time up. WSB.FM has a pledge form, too. Next pitch, fastball outside. Likes to throw overhand, full overhand, 2-0. See what he does with his arm angle here. A little bit less so. And this one fouled back onto the screen. Glove is in the trunk of my car, guys. I have to run out and get it. But thank God for the screen. Otherwise, I would have had to field that thing. It was hit right at me. 2-1 on the way. That caught the corner. 2-2. Nice little curveball right on the left knee of Ryan Michelli. 2-2. Bouncer to the left of the mound. You're going to let Fox take it. He's not going to have a play. And Brett Paulson is saying, don't even try it. So an infield hit of a squibbler or whatever you want to call it. Slow roller to the left of the mound. Rabb did not go for it. He was going to let Fox take it. Fox wasn't sure because he was late on it, but By the time he got to it, Dickerson was already on first base. Looked like a floater there. 1-0, missed outside on the righty. So Bryce Frederick struck out his first time up. Throw to first, and Dickerson gets back. And Matt Sink is coming out. Okay, so he may have seen something. Frederick, by the way, only has two stolen bases, but only has attempted it twice. So he's 100% too. Not as pronounced, obviously, as Evan Fox's numbers, but also means he goes when he knows he can make it. Okay, so all is well. Sink goes back. No activity in the bullpen, and we can see that now. They removed the overlay on the fence. Also means that the guys in the bullpen can watch the game more easily, too. So works out very nicely for everybody. 1-0 on the way. Just got the outside corner on the righty, 1-1. So whatever Matt Sink said produced a result. One one on the way. Swing and a miss. 1-2. Another ball diving away. I'm fishing for that one. He'll take a cursory glance at the runner. Remember, there's nobody out here with the runner on first. 1-2. Now somebody's out. Frederick swings at some high cheese and misses. So, tack on another strikeout. It's number 4 for JT Rabb. Tay Robinson popped up in foul territory. I still don't know who caught it. I have to look back at the official stats. I'd say Evan Fox caught it. Could have been Matt Maselli, but it was blocked by the dugout, the opposing dugout, so it was an out. And this one's going to be a ground ball, and it's going to be past a diving Paulson, but Pilla went for it, was thinking of throwing it to Paulson, but wouldn't have been in time. So Robinson singles off Paulson's glove, and they're going to rule that a hit, and you really have to. Paulson dove for it, bounced off his glove. May or may not have had a play anyway. That's a hit. So a couple of infield hits. Put runners on first and second here with one out for Cole Stefano, and he jumps on the first pitch and skies it to center field straight away for Cam Santerre. He got the runner at second tagging, Elijah Dickerson. He'll make it in the third. So now with runners on first and third and two out, best threat Towson has had today so far in the top of the fourth. Still no score. Could change with a swing of the bat from Chris Akers, a DH. Fly to left his first time up. Right-handed hitter. Everybody's at normal depth because, you know, ground ball ends the inning. First pitch in the dirt, 1-0. That's the first one like that he's thrown all day. Breaking balls have been getting over. Dealing from the stretch once again, 1-0 pitch. Checks his swing, and it's a strike regardless. Got the breaking ball over. Like I said, doesn't throw much in the dirt, gets him over. 1-1. And the 1-1. This one's going to be a bouncer just foul to the left of third base. So Evan Fox fields it, but realizes he does not have to make that difficult play, and it would have been. But he would have been in a perfect position to keep the runner on third because he's not going to go on that. Any ball hit to third base, runner's not going to move. Here's the 1-2. Runner is going, and this one skied foul beyond the right side into the woods. I believe it's a 1 o'clock start for softball, if I recall correctly. So they have not begun, but both teams are there. 1-2 on the way. Runner going again. Throw over to first, so he got him in a rundown. And the throw home is high, so worked brilliantly. So what happened was Tay Robinson played decoy. And while that was happening, Elijah Dickerson comes in to score and slides in, makes it a 1-0 game. Count still at 1-2. That one high, 2-2. Might have rattled Reb a little bit. But in the process, Robinson goes to second. So you still have a runner in scoring position and a run in. Still doesn't come up on the scoreboard yet. This one, skied foul, could be playable for Paulson. He does run it down in foul territory. So the Seawolves get out of the inning. One run on one hit, no errors. Two infield hits and a very well-executed stolen base attempt, because what happened was the throw to first from Rab went to Paulson. Paulson, the guy was already halfway down, so they're trying to get him in a rundown. Only problem is you got that guy on third sneaking in and was able to do so. So Pilla threw the ball home, and it was too high. There was going to be no play there. He was already there. So Towson ekes out a run, and they lead it 1-0. He was to go to the bottom of the fourth inning. Okay, so you go to the bottom of the fourth. Johnny Pilla, Brett Paulson, and Ryan Michelli going up against Brett Siles. And Seawolves have threatened a couple of times. They've got two runners on in each of the past two innings, not been able to get a run across. But now it's up to Siles to make that 1-0 lead stand as long as he can. Pilla struck out his first time up. Lefty hitter. First pitch outside on him, 1-0. Dealing again. Strike down the middle. One ball, one strike. The lefty hitter, you got the second baseman playing in the green part of the field, and instead he goes oppo, and the line drive down the left field line. It's going to be good for two at least as he makes it in standing up. Hit that one hard, hit that one late, and two base hit for Johnny Pilla. That'll bring up Brett Paulson. Got on infield hit his first time up as a runner in scoring position with nobody out here in the bottom of the fourth. Towson scored the first. Top half leads 1-0. Strike one on a breaking ball. Dealing from the stretch. Runner taking a big lead here. 0-1 on the way. And this one, a line drive down the right field line, but foul. Bounces off the side fence there. No chance for anybody. So Barnett, the right fielder, just flips it into the bullpen. You guys figure out what to do with it. Counts 0-2. Checking the runner. Yep, and the throw over to second. It's just so that the second baseman, Casey Bishop, doesn't waste his time, even though it was a waste of time. O2 on the way. He'll look again. Swing and a miss. And down goes Paulson. So with one away, they'll bring up Ryan Michelli, who lined a single to left his last time up. So this is the third straight inning the Seawolves have had a runner in scoring position. They had two runners on the last two. And the leadoff double by Paulson sets him up with one out here. Breaking ball down and away, 1-0. They're getting ready to start right behind us. Stony Brook and Drexel. Softball team has won 14 straight, by the way. Got to get some games in with them. 1-0 on the way. Down and away again, 2-0. Michelli, the right-handed hitter, digging in. Johnny Pilla at second base taking the lead. And Siles comes to the plate, and his answer will be Michelli bouncing a ball foul to the left of third base, so the count will go to 2-1. Temperature in the 50s today, so it's got a little bit of a bite to it. Not quite March weather, but not quite April weather either. 2-1 on the way. That one's low. Throw over to third, and yes, Johnny Pilla steals third base. So now you got the tying run 90 feet away. Two balls and two strikes, one out. We're in the bottom of the fourth inning. Towson scored in the top half, leads 1-0. Infield drawn in here. Golden opportunity, but this one's going to be a pop-up into right field. Barnett under it. Doesn't have too far to go, but that will get the run in. So mission accomplished. Ryan Michelli, the sacrifice fly, ties the game at one. Cam Santerre with the bases empty and a run in. So we're tied at one here in the fourth inning. Takes high and outside for ball one. Lineup intro is going on behind us for softball. And this one, high fly ball deep to left center field, and it's going to bounce off the bottom of the wall. Easy double for Cam Santerre. So the Seawolves have another runner in scoring position with two out. That is a Matt Sink hit. Got to remember, I've said this before, the gaps in Joe Nathan Field are deep for a reason. The Seawolves recruit line drive hitters, and that is meant to favor them. Chris Carson, number nine hitter, grounded to short his first time up, has a runner on second here. High fly ball straightaway center around the first pitch. That should be a can of corn for Stefano, and he makes the catch. Seawolves do pick up a run, though, on two hits. No errors and a man left. So after four full innings, Towson, one run, three hits, no errors. Seawolves, one run, five hits, and one error here in the longtime home for Seawolves Athletics, WUSP. Now, another thing, if you listen to WUSP just for the sports, I can't believe you do. Because by this point in time, if you listen to all the games we do, and we do a lot of them, as I hear constantly from the people we preempt, many thanks to them for allowing us to do it, by the way. Many thanks to Bob Longman for deferring. Many thanks to Lister, oh my God. But just to give you an idea, by the way, that's the national anthem for the softball game going on behind us. The point I'm trying to make here is that, number one, we're on the air 24-7, and we don't have a format. It's whatever the DJ wants it to be. But you got a great show coming up, because whether it's Bob Longman filling in the remaining time of his show or Jazz on the Air coming after, Your Sunday afternoons are pretty loaded here, and your Sunday night, naturally, at 9 p.m. with the sports section. Who else talks Seawolves sports more than we do? And a lot of the guys, Kevin Broderick, sports director, and George Karatsis, who will be often be joining me here for baseball, they do double duty at the Statesman. As a matter of fact, we will get you an update on women's lacrosse in just a moment here, but right now you got to get the fifth inning underway. Devin Barnett, Brian Heckelman, and Jordan Payton up against JT Rapp. So Barnett leads off, swings and misses at a breaking ball, 0-1. And 0-1 on the way. Checks his swing, and he gets that one, 1-1. Left-handed hitter. Always remind people of that because people aren't as familiar with college players as they are with pro. Swings and misses at a breaking ball that clearly got a piece of because it bounces past Michelli, so that's a foul ball. Strike two regardless, 1-2. Infield at normal depth because, of course, it's a leadoff hitter, nobody on. Waste pitch way outside, 2-2. Righty to the lefty once again, 2-2 pitch. That's high, ball three. Now remember, Barnett's a number eight hitter. Payoff pitch. Right down the middle for strike three, and that's why he's a number eight hitter. Got caught looking. He's a 1-11 hitter. Heckelman in the nine spot, fly to center his first time up. And the first pitch catches the outside corner on the righty, 0-1. Next one, full overhand on that fastball, 0-2, swing and a miss. I like the way he mixes up the arm angles. Went overhand here, goes overhand again, goes a little high with the fastball, 1-2. Drops it a little bit, though. That was full straight-up overhand. This one was a little bit 7/8, not quite 3/4. 1-2, swing and a miss, strike three. So here we are in the fifth inning. And he racks up another one. Okay, so back to the top of the order for Jordan Payton. Two away here. We're in the top of the fifth inning. Tied at one. First pitch just misses outside, 1-0. But the thing that I am most concerned about as a pitch count, 63 pitches here in the fifth inning is pretty good. Next pitch popped up into right field, and Carson doesn't have too far to venture to make the catch there. So 1-2-3 inning for JT Rapp. We go to the bottom of the fifth, tied at one. Okay, approaching the 1 o'clock hour. So you know what that means if you're a WSB staffer. You got to go through the full range of IDs because you're at 90.1 FM WSB Stony Brook, 107.3 FM W297BM Stony Brook, and WSB.FM on the stream, wherever you're listening, especially if you're listening on the stream because the Radiothon pledge form is right there. So do a little bit of navigating and get over there and make a pledge. Now, talking about 24/7 programming, keep the station on. Okay, listen to Bob. Listen to Jazz on the Air. Listen to us later tonight. Don't turn it off. But if you don't like something here on WSB, wait a bit. Because chances are something you will like will be coming down the pike. So, That's what how public media works. Now, we're not the only station out there to the left of 92 on the dial, because that is the territory for non-commercial radio, and non-commercial radio is college radio, it's community radio, it's, you know, WBGO, for example, is a non-commercial station, but not affiliated with any college. WFUV, on the other hand, is Fordham University's voice. That's what FUV stands for. WRHU at Hofstra, us at Stony Brook, WKCR Columbia, WSHR at Sachem High School. Okay, back to the top of the order for the Seawolves in the bottom of the fifth. Devin Fox, Matt Maselli, and Matt Brown-Ehring. New pitcher as Brett Siles calls it a day. Luis Rivera gets his numbers on him momentarily. First pitch from Rivera, right-hander, misses outside on Fox. Ball one. Next pitch catches the outside corner for a strike, 1-1. Dealing again from the windup. And this one's going to be a ground ball over to short. Easy for Peyton. Throws the first, one away. Hit right at him. Okay, on Rivera, 5.79 ERA. He's only thrown 9 1/3 innings. His ninth appearance, has not made a start. He's a senior from Cidra, Puerto Rico, Colegio Católico Notre Dame. 0-1 pitch already. He does get strike one in on Maselli. He throws one in the dirt to counter it at 1-1. Pitched on Friday, two innings, scoreless. Next pitch down at Maselli's feet, 2-1. Also threw a scoreless inning against Mount St. Mary's. Gave two runs, two hits, and one inning UNCW. So now dealing low and outside. Makes it a 3-1 count on Matt Maselli. This one's going to be a bouncer just foul on the third baseline. So the count goes to 3-2. And that's an email coming in from me on the computer, so let me just turn that down. There we go, it's better. 3-2. Missed outside, ball four. So Maselli is on. The Seawolves have had base runners every inning except the first. But only one run to show for it. Matt Brown-Ehring right behind him with one away, runner on first. We're in the bottom of the fifth inning. We're tied at one. Taking a little wild view from the stretch here. Here it comes. A little high, ball one. He didn't shake any pitches off, but communication there between Heckelman behind the plate and Rivera on the mound. That's Luis Rivera, not Mariano. Here's the 1-0. Inside, ball two. Once again, throw to first to keep Matt Maselli honest at first base. Not taking a big lead, though. Going to let Brown-Ehring do the work. And that's going to be a bouncer foul to the left of third base over towards the visiting dugout. So it counts a 2-1. stealing from the stretch once again. Taking a bigger lead now, but Rivera able to sneak a strike in, 2-2. Righty to the righty once again. This one, swing and a miss, strike three, throw to first, not in time. Heckelman testing Maselli a little bit on the strikeout, throwing over to first base, but Maselli got back in plenty of time. No real threat there. Eric Paulson now, 0-2. Grounded out and lined out. This one's going to be a long fly ball to left field, and that's going to be off the bottom of the wall, and that will bring in another run for the Seawolves as Maselli scores all the way from first base on a long stand-up double by Eric Paulson. Makes it a 2-1 game. Another Matt Sank hit. Like I said, gave the ball a good ride, but with the deep gaps, it wasn't going to go out. But he put it in the right place for nobody to get to, into the gap in left center. And he's got an RBI to his credit. Okay, so that'll bring up Johnny Pilla, who doubled his last time up and stole third. Takes outside the left-handed hitter, 1-0. Has another runner in scoring position. Wants to add to it naturally. And the next pitch down and in this time. 2-0. With the left-handed hitter up, the second baseman, Casey Bishop, is playing straight away on the green. Meanwhile, the shortstop, Peyton, is playing close to second in case there's a throw there to pick him off. That's Eric Paulson, by the way. Strike down the middle, makes it 2-1. Now remember, Paulson lined straight to Bishop at second base last time up. Another strike for Johnny Pilla. Paulson is standing on second base, or actually taking a big lead off it. Payton standing right behind him. Rivera steps off the rubber, but does not even pay too much attention. He's got two outs, so he's got to deal with the hitter in front of him, not the runner behind him. But even though we'll check him. Come to the plate, 2-2, and this one's going to be a ground ball through the right side for a base hit. And that will bring Paulson in. An RBI single for Johnny Pilla makes it a 3-1 Seawolves lead. Just to the right of second base, he sneaks it in. So two straight RBI hits to the Seawolves translate to two runs in the inning so far on the bottom of the fifth. Still two out with Brett Paulson. Infield hitting a strikeout. The right-hander takes the ball diving away, 1-0. And the 1-0. This one skied foul over towards the woods on the right side, and the kids making their run for it. Bounces off the storage container for the groundskeeping equipment, so that's going to go into the woods. Kid's going to have an adventure there. 1-1 pitch. That's going to be on the way from the stretch once again. Oh, just over his head. As Brett Paulson had to duck. Two and one. Going to the other side of the plate, missing there too, 3-1. Ryan Michelli on deck. Throw over to first, and Pillow gets back easily. Keep challenging the pitcher. Keep distracting him. 3-1 on the way. This one's going to be a high fly ball to right, and Barnett will move to his left and our right to make the catch, and Towson is out of the inning. However, two runs on two hits, man left on base, five full in the books. Seawolves have a 3-1 lead. JT Rabb coming back out to pitch. Get you an official line on Siles while we're at it. Okay, Siles went four full, gave up a run on five hits, struck out three, walked one, 56 pitches over four innings, which was not bad at all. But Rivera, in that one inning he just pitched, he threw 24. Meanwhile, for Rabb, so far, run on three hits, six Ks. And his pitch count is fairly efficient, too, at 65. He's going to be facing the 2, 3, and 4 hitters for Towson. Casey Bishop, Elijah Dickerson, and Bryce Frederick. It's Dickerson who has hits off him. One, a clean line drive in the first inning, and the other, an infield hit. But Bishop struck out and popped a second. Checks his swing. Appeal play says, yes, he went. On a ball that was a little bit too low, but it's 0-1 regardless. And the 0-1. This one, line foul just beyond the side fence. It's going to roll into the woods. And I love it on a Sunday afternoon, kids running over to get all the balls, and they get to keep them. 0-2 on the way. Little high in his hand, so 1-2. Usually 11 or 12 pitches per inning is a pretty efficient outing. Next pitch, high pop up into the infield right by the mound, so it's going to be Maselli coming in just behind the mound to make the catch. Elijah Dickerson, who I said has two hits on the day, one legit line drive and the other one a squibbler that just to the left of the mound that Evan Fox had to field and could not get to throw there in time. Breaking ball dives in on the lefty hitter, 1-0. We're in the top of the sixth inning. Seawolves lead 3-1. They just put two up in the bottom of the fifth. This one, a bouncer right into the glove of JT Rabb. He just underhands it over to Paulson. Two away. Just sticks his glove there, and there's the ball. Bryce Frederick struck out twice. Both swinging. And he jumps on the first pitch and fouls it back onto the screen, 0-1. That has not been an issue for JT Rabb. Gets ahead of the hitters. Ball way outside. 1-1. Infield is at normal depth. 1-1. A little high, 2-1. Remember, Rabb has not walked anybody. Here I am jinxing it. Here's a 2-1. Swing and a miss, 2-2. And 2-2. Foul back onto the screen again. Count holds. So the umpire needs a couple of extra balls to work with. Running low. Two-two on the way. Let's that one go low, 3-2. And Reb swinging a miss at a ball in the dirt. Michelli applies the tag, and that will do it. 1-2-3 inning in the sixth. That will be 8 straight. He is retired after allowing an infield hit to Tay Robinson in the fourth. So we go to the bottom of the sixth. 3-1 Stony Brook. 3 runs, 7 hits, and 1 error for the Seawolves. 1 run, 3 hits, and no errors for the Towson Tigers. 7, 8, 9 hitters coming up for the Seawolves. I'm just double checking to see if we have another pitching change here for the Tigers. I see number 10 out there. That's Justin Reebok. He pitched yesterday. So Rivera threw an inning. And Reebok will get his warm-ups in. Like I said, Michelli, Santerra, and Carson coming up for Stony Brook. Put up 2 runs back in the fifth, 1 in the fourth. Have had base runners in every inning except the first. But took a couple of back-to-back hits by Eric Paulson and Johnny Pilla to put a couple of runs across in that fifth inning. And a sack fly by Ryan Michelli, who's coming up right now. Also single to left. Plated the first run for the Seawolves back in the fourth to answer the one run the Tigers literally stole. Get into that in just a second here, but let's get Michelli squared away as he jumps on the first pitch. Ground ball over to third, and a throw across the diamond will be in plenty of time for Tay Robinson. One away. Okay, Cam Santerre popped a short and doubled. 1-for-2 on the day. Takes a breaking ball right on the outside corner for a strike. And the next pitch from Reebok, that hit him. Caught him right above the knee. Now, yesterday, now that we're on the subject of hit batsmen, 3 Stony Brook hitters led off the seventh inning with hit by pitches, and that was off Max Simpson. Reebok actually hit a guy yesterday, if I recall correctly, too. I'll get that line for you in a minute. But he's going to get his first pitch in, which is a strike to Chris Carson, who grounded to short and fly to center. You got Santerre taking the lead. Now he's going, and he's going to make it in without a throw because the pitch was way outside and off the glove of Heckelman. So a base for Cam Santerre puts the runner in scoring position again for the Seawolves. Carson's got a 1-1 count with one away here in the bottom of the sixth, leading 3-1. Now he's got to check the runner and come to the plate. This one's going to be a high fly ball to right center. Should be a can of corn for Stefano, and it is. But tagging and making his way to third is Santerre. So nice heads-up base running there. So a two away. We're back to the top of the order for Evan Fox. Evan Fox, the victim of a great play, diving catch in shallow left field by the shortstop Jordan Payton, who's been flashing leather all through the series. Also walked and grounded to Payton on a much easier play. He's a right-handed hitter, so you expect him to hit the ball to short. But now he's got another run 90 feet away. Takes a strike down the middle, 0-1. On a breaking ball. So he gets that over. Reebok does. Reebok dealing again. Looked like a slider down away. 1-1. Full overhand. Runner taking the lead off third. 1-1. Going to let that one bounce in front of the plate. Like that walk-up music. Staying alive. Here's a 2-1. And another hit batsman. As Evan Fox takes one just above the knee. So the Seawolves haven't had a hit in this inning, but they've got runners on first and third with two out. Matt Maselli, 0-for-2 on the day, fly to right, struck out, and walked. Kind of reminds me of yesterday. Seawolves didn't have a lot of hits, but got hit a lot. First pitch in there for a strike. 0-1. Caught the corner again, 0-2. Catching the outside part of the plate, doing a pretty good job there. When he comes inside is when he has a problem. He's hit two batters. He's got two men on as a result. We're talking about Justin Reebok here, the pitcher for Towson. Righty to the righty, 0-2 on the way. Foul back and beyond towards the softball field. By the way, Drexel up 1-0 here, and I believe it's in the second inning. Just turning my head to take a look, but counts 0-2 here with two out. Runners on first and third. Bottom of the sixth, Seawolves lead 3-1. The breaking ball is a little high and outside, 1-2. Runners taking their leads and a throw to first. Will not be in anything close to time for Evan Fox. Now, Evan Fox has second base open, and like I said, when he goes, he makes it. He's 100%. 1-2. This one's going to make the softball field. Duck. Count holds at 1-2. Okay, microphone's adjusted. Here we go. 1-2 pitch. And another one. Again, I believe the softball team is going to let these guys have it a little bit. It's Evan Fox. He's the one's hitting the balls all over the place over there. Blame him. 1-2 on the way. That missed outside 2-2. Wanted that corner. You know Heckelman wanted that corner. Trying to frame it. Trying to catch Evan Fox looking. Nothing doing. Counts at 2-2. And the 2-2. This one's going to be a bouncer. Foul just towards the visiting dugout on the third base side. So the count holds. And Evan Fox doing what Evan Fox does. Working in at bat. And 2-2. This one's going to be a high fly ball to shallow left. Should be an easy play for Elijah Dickerson out there, and it is. And that will do it here in the sixth. So, two hit batsmen, two men left. No runs, no hits, no errors. But six are in the books and the Seawolves have a 3-1 lead. 3 runs, 7 hits, and 1 error for the Seawolves. 1 run, 3 hits, and no errors for the Towson Tigers. And yeah, JT Rabb. Now, this is one thing that I will tell you, that I will share with you, knowing the history of this program and knowing all the great pitching performances that led to success for the Seawolves. I mean, yesterday, yeah, Colin Rhine going 7, keeping the Seawolves in the game just long enough for them to steal it on a balk. JT Rabb going into his 7th inning of work. He's got 78 pitches, so 78 in 6 innings. Again, he's effective. Now, what kind of leash will he be on here in the 7th inning? There's no activity going on in the bullpen. He'll be dealing with Tay Robinson, Cole Stefano, and Chris Akers, the 5, 6, and 7 hitters. One hit between them, and that was an infield hit. Robinson with that infield hit. And first pitch, jumps on it into shallow center, shallow left center, rather, and that's going to be fielded by Miceli into the green. I saw Santerre running in on it, but it was actually Miceli going out for it to make the catch. Okay, Stefano grounded short and fly to center. Nice fastball in the outside corner for a strike. Hear that pop in the 7th inning means, hey, JT is dealing. And this one, a high fly ball into left field, and Brown Ehring can't get to it, a diving catch. He has to run out and get it, so that's going to be, it could be a triple. He's going for 3, and the throw will be offline. Devin Fox at third. So Stefano on third base with a triple. Brown Ehring tried to make a dive and grab for it. It was a low fly ball, and it was close to the left field line. Brown Ehring had to venture far to get to it and just couldn't get it. So you got a run 90 feet away, one out for Chris Akers. Takes a strike on the outside part of the plate. Fly to left, one that Brown Ehring was able to catch, and foul popped to Brett Paulson at first base. This one's going to be a flare into right center, and it's going to drop for a base hit. That will bring the run in, make it a 3-2 game. So the Tigers convert on a break going their way. Obviously not an error for Brown Ehring, but a tough play for him. But getting that runner in. Now Devin Barnett, who, as I said, he's 0 for 2 and was 1-11 going in. Takes strike one. Now swings and misses. And put up another one. Grounded to short, got caught looking. Seals could definitely use an out here. 0-2 on the way. Hold on, ump calls time. JT was following through anyway, but there is activity going on in the bullpen. Right-handed pitcher can't see the number. Should bring binoculars sometime. Now we're back to live action. 0-2 on the way. This one's going to be a flare that's going to drop right in front of Miceli. He'll throw over to second to get the force. So Barnett's on a fielder's choice, but a very intelligent